Today, let's talk financial advising, retirement and tax strategy. Where do you put your money? The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because today will help you build your legacy with the fire on the wall.
Welcome back to another episode of Fly on the Wall Finance. I'm your co-host, Tony Shore, and I'm here with our wonderful, most excellent host, Jamie Malm. Jamie, how are you today?
I'm great. It's good to be here. We've got an important show today. We are going to be talking about really the backbone of America, our small business owners, and near and dear to my heart, specifically farmers and ranchers. So we'll be talking about some of the retirement planning that's available to you and some tax planning strategies. So those, I think, often get overlooked with farmers, ranchers, small business owners. They're on their own.
They are. I grew up on a farm, and my grandfather owned the farm. We lived right across the lane, my parents and I. So that farm, my grandfather grew up on that land. My dad grew up on that land, and I grew up on that land. And my dad now owns it. My grandfather passed, and my dad has it. And he's retired, my dad, and in assisted living. But we lease out the farm, and I still go down there and go out there and do things every time. So I know what farmers deal with. And it's amazing because they have, along with all small business owners, but they have a unique set of challenges. That's for sure. You know, when my grandfather passed, it's like, you know, they're like, well, there's all these taxes. There's nothing liquid. Typically farmers don't have a lot of liquidity. It's all in the land and the equipment and the seed. And so it's, there's a lot there, but there's nothing liquid, and it's a lot of work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the challenges that they face are unique, and sometimes in wearing so many hats, you know, you're the operator, you're the manager, you're the bookkeeper, you are the mechanic, that's holds true really for most small business owners, but the role then that often gets overlooked is the chief financial officer or the retirement planner, because unlike employees, if I'm working for somebody else, well, then I probably have a 401k or something that somebody has set up for me that I can contribute to. If I'm a small business owner, I'm a farmer, I'm a rancher, that retirement planning and what I'm setting aside for myself, it falls entirely on my shoulders. And farmers, ranchers specifically, growing up, you know, with a family that's still farmers and ranchers, it sometimes takes a back burner, right? Because we have things of value. We have land and things that are appreciating in assets. And if we needed to go, you know, sell that, or that's going to be the inheritance, it's there. Problem is, we don't want to have to go liquidate hard assets or land, especially something that's been in the family for a long time, to go create cash or cash flow. So
exactly,
really looking at those challenges is what we want to do today.
Yeah. I mean, where I grew up with my grandfather, my dad, that generation also, and a lot of farmers I know, especially in ranchers, they don't like to necessarily talk about money with people or communicate about it. Some hold it close to the vest, which is even worse because they may not have someone like you, a fiduciary or a financial planner, who can help them plan for the future. And a lot of them don't have a retirement plan, let alone a succession plan. A lot of small business owners, whether you own a bakery or a record store or what have you, or own hundreds of acres of farmland, you know, what's your plan for retirement? What's your succession plan? Do you have a retirement income plan? Have you been saving for retirement, or has it all gone back into the farm? And that's what I see a lot of farmers doing, right?
For sure. It's constantly putting money back into what's feeding our lifestyle and our livelihoods and our family. And I get that. The struggle then is, well, let's look at it from two parts. One, how can we get the best of both worlds, right? How can we continue to invest in the farm and run a profitable operation, but still have some foresight into the things that might derail that later, that we might want to have a separate set of funds available for? So let's talk about some of the retirement plans that are tailored specifically for small business owners. And we've already touched on a bit on why. Obviously, the most obvious reason, or the main reason, is we want to have money set aside outside of the illiquidity of the business, the land, the farm, something that we can tap into for retirement, for cash. And we talk retirement, this will be something, again, that's going to focus on farmers and ranchers. Most are going to say, I'm never going to just retire, right? I'm not, there's right. not like, I'm going to turn 65 and now I'm done. No, they're probably going to keep working until they're unable to. And that is going to happen at some point. Yeah. I'm just physically not able to do all the things I once wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But now again, I have this farm. Well, I don't want to sell it when I'm 75, 85, 95, however long I'm going to have to be able to work. It's not like, well, now I'm not able to. I still need cash flow. Well, let's think about some things then that we can have in place. So one, from a tax planning standpoint, which we're going to dig into a little bit more, but any contributions to any kind of retirement plan while I'm running my small business, they are tax deductible from me as the employer, the owner. So that's money that I can shelter in that year that I would otherwise be paying taxes on. So we'll dig into that a little bit more. And then if I have employees, and when I say employees, most small businesses, the reason they're a small business is we have maybe one or two, right? Maybe I have a farmhand. Maybe I, like you said, I own a bakery, a record store, or something, and I've got a couple of employees. In that case, one, we want to make it attractive for the employees to continue working for us, right? Most of us need that extra help. Sure. And the generations of today are not like in years past where you go and work for one employer and that's where, you know, you spend the next 40, 50 years. So we want to make things enticing. We want to set something up for them. So employee contributions that we can make available are another draw that makes it more attractive to stay with us. So let's start with basics. A very basic option. I'm a solo entrepreneur. I could just set up a solo 401k, right? So it is what it sounds like. It is for one person or maybe co-owners of a company. Maybe I'm a husband and wife, and I just want something for myself. One of the benefits of a solo 401k is that it's got one of the highest contribution limits available. If I'm looking at max deferral, right, 70,000 plus, then a solo 401k may be my best option. The alternate to that would be a SEP IRA. So if it's a husband and wife owner, but I've got a few people that need to be on the plan, a SEP IRA, or Simplified Employee Pension is what that stands for. It's a very easy to set up. It's low administrative cost. It's not super cumbersome with like annual filing requirements. And again, it has one of those high levels of deferral, not quite as much of as a solo, but I can contribute up to 25% of my compensation or 70,000 in 2025, whichever is less. I really like this option specifically for farmers and ranchers because it's really easy to decide year by year, do I want to contribute or do I not? So it's great for people that have fluctuating income. Maybe one year is really profitable and I want to shelter that money from taxes and another year isn't so profitable. A SEP is great for people that have that fluctuating income.
Interesting. Are there cons to the SEP IRA?
I would say the biggest con is that it's employers only, right? It's employees can't contribute themselves. Okay. Okay. So you can contribute for employees if you have a few. In fact, you have to contribute equally to all eligible employees. So that could be considered a con, I suppose. If you don't want to, you can't pick and choose, you know, this person's been with me forever and I really want to do it for them, but I don't want to do it for this other person. Now there are restrictions that you can place on it. One, you have to be at least 21.
Sure.
So if you're hiring, you know, some teenagers to help in the summer or something like that, you've got to be at least 21. And the most restrictive option that you can place on the plan is that you would have had to have worked for that person for 3 of the last 5 years, which prevents somebody from coming on. Maybe they don't work out. Now I contributed to them and they were only here a year. You can choose to be less restrictive than that. But you can't be more restrictive than that. So if somebody's of age and they've worked for you for at least, 3 of the last 5 years, you've got to contribute equal amounts for all employees that are eligible.
Okay. So to clarify, for a solo 401k or a SEP IRA, those are just for the business owners themselves, right? Like a farmer or a solo business owner, those don't apply to your employees.
For the solo on the SEP, you would contribute for your employee.
I see. Sure.
But they can't contribute themselves. Sort of like if you have a 401k at work, you can make your own contributions.
Right.
In a SEP IRA, employees don't make their own contributions. The employer makes it on their behalf and they decide what they're contributing. It just has to be equal across all employees. So that can limit what you're putting in. Okay. The other con I would say, and it's not necessarily a con, but it can create some confusion. We're getting asked a lot about, well, what about a Roth SEP IRA? Technically, there is no such thing that exists. Where the confusion comes in is that you can make a Roth contribution inside the SEP IRA that just came about with the Secure Act 2.0, but you have to have an administrator that will allow for it. And it's new enough that, you know, you might look into it and say, oh, well, it doesn't look like I can have a Roth SEP, so I'll just stop there. Dig in a little further, work with somebody that is knowledgeable in that area that can point you in the right direction. Because depending on your tax liability and your financial situation for that year, you may want some of it that you're paying taxes on now, that you won't pay taxes on later. And you may want some of it that you get that tax deferral now and pay taxes later. So there's a method to the madness. So
well, sure. And you've talked about Roths a lot and how to utilize them to have some money in that tax-free bucket. If you can pay taxes now, that's always advantageous for at least some of the money for some people. But I can see where this might confuse some people. Now, let's say you have employees, regardless of how many, that want to contribute to an employer-sponsored retirement account. What do you do then?
Yeah. And this comes up. We have a lot of small business owners that we work with that have a handful of employees. They really want to set something up for those employees. In that instance, a simple IRA may be the best option that allows employee and employer contributions. So as long as your employer with fewer than 100 employees, which that's the definition of a small business, right? Yeah. We have more than that. I don't, you know, borderline, but most of our small business owners around here are going to have way fewer than 100.
Oh, yeah.
Max contribution then for employees under the age of 50 is $16,500 for this year. You do get a catch-up provision over age 50. You get an additional $3,500. So that would be $20,000 annually. And then a new provision here as an additional catch up. If you're age 60 to 63, it's even slightly higher than that. You get like $21,750, I believe is the number. So in a simple IRA, the employees get to decide how much they want to contribute up to that match. Employers have to either match those contributions or you would contribute at least 2% of their compensation. So you want to know what plan fits you the best,
right?
What fits what you're trying to accomplish? Are you trying to shelter money from taxation? Are we trying to set up money that we're going to have tax-free later? Are we trying to set something up for employees? Depending on what we're trying to accomplish would determine in part, at least, what kind of plan would be most appropriate.
Sure. Yeah. And it, if you're going to look at the expense you're going to undertake, if you need to contribute to your employees' plans as well, you have to look at that as part of their compensation and see, okay, you know, I'm already paying this. What can I afford to do as a small business? I only have three or four employees or five. So, you know, it depends on everybody's situation, but that sounds like a great option for a lot of smaller businesses.
Yep. And I think that brings us to the next portion of this, which is the tax planning. Those deductible retirement contributions are a huge win. If I'm contributing to a SEP IRA, for example, or a solo 401k or a simple IRA, those all go in pre-tax, which is lowering my taxable income. Often a really important strategy for small business owners. And it's one of the best dual purpose strategies that we have. Lower my income taxes today while also saving money and setting aside that bucket of money for future use.
Excellent. So yeah, you're contributing to a retirement fund for yourself and you're also getting a tax break that year. And for business owners, that's probably attractive.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Smart way to supplement income. And then for farmers and ranchers, I think we don't want to forget about some of those additional tax planning strategies like the Section 179 deductions, which is crucial for farmers and ranchers that are buying new equipment. They can deduct that full purchase price of qualifying equipment and rather than depreciating it over time, we get to deduct the full amount this year. The amount is high. I think the thing that we have to remember is, you know, it's one thing to get over $1 million of available deductions, but it is limited to the business's taxable income, right?
Sure.
So knowing some of those deductions, knowing what our options are, really important, especially for somebody that works in, you know, something that like ag, where we are going to have some very specific challenges. Sure.
And that leads me, I did want to ask, do you know, Jamie, because I don't, I work for an employer or a bigger company and they offer healthcare through the company, I have access to high deductible healthcare plans,
right,
which includes HSAs, which are a great tax shelter for money, even though it has to be used for healthcare purposes. I can use it at any time. I'll never lose it. It grows tax-free. It goes in tax-free and it comes out tax-free if I use it right. But if I own my own business, like if I'm a small business owner or a farmer, do I have access to an HSA?
Yeah. HSAs are something that we hear a lot about in obviously the corporate world where we have an employer that's offering traditional benefits. Then sure. HSAs have become really popular, I think, over the last couple of years, too, because people have wisened up a little bit and said, hey, you know what? I can operate this like a Roth, but I don't actually have to pull money out to pay for medical expenses. I can get more money parked away. It's going to grow tax-free. And then withdrawals later are going to be tax-free. It's like getting an extra Roth, essentially. Sure. Now, if I pull money out pre-65, it has to be for medical expenses to make it tax-free. But if I'm trying to look at it as like a Roth alternative, if I wait until I hit 65, I can use it for non-medical expenses. So there are ways in which we can decide how we want to use the HSA. It is available to small business owners, to self-employed. The main thing to know about HSAs is they coincide with a high deductible health plan. Yes. So it would have to be something that, you know, worked with whatever health insurance that you personally have or that you've sought out. If it's something that you also want the HSA for, then it is available for self-employed and small business owners.
Oh. Good to know. So when it comes to tax planning, we've touched on a few things, the Section 179 deduction, some other types of accounts that are good because you can tax defer in a lot of these retirement tax deferred accounts. What's next? What else can we utilize for tax planning?
I think first and foremost, it's crucial that you work with a tax professional that is knowledgeable in planning specific to small business owners, specific even to the industry that you're in, specific to farmers and ranchers. Years ago, when we sought out the firm that we wanted to work with, not just for ourselves, but that we wanted to make available to our clients, we really looked at who hits the areas of expertise that we need them in. We do a lot with real estate and rentals, and we wanted somebody who is extremely knowledgeable in real estate and rentals. We have a lot of clients that are small business owners, farmers, ranchers. We wanted somebody who is extremely knowledgeable with the industries that most Kansans are going to be in, right? And so first, I think, and I, you know, we need to have our tax team come on the podcast and do a whole show just on the things that they dig into and really get into the weeds a little bit. But I would say the first thing we look at is the structure of the business, right? Are you a partnership? Are you a sole proprietor? Are you an S corp? Are you an LLC? Knowing that structure makes a big difference on how you actually are able to take advantage of tax planning strategies. And often we just say, well, I guess I'll go set up this LLC. And we don't really dig into, would an S corp have been more appropriate? Would a C corp have been more appropriate? Should I have been a partnership? So knowing that structure, then being able to determine, all right, is there equipment depreciation? Is fluctuating
for farmers?
Yeah, of course.
Equipment depreciation and being able to write that off or have that affect our taxes is huge.
Or deferred payment contracts, the timing of income expenses for farmers and ranchers. You know, can I sell something but not realize the actual payment till later, or vice versa? We also have to pay attention to these laws are changing so frequently. Yeah. The tax credits that we qualify for, they all impact our tax liability. So main thing is look at the structure of the farm and make sure you've worked with a tax professional that has weighed in on, is the structure that you have set up, the S corp, the C corp, the proprietorship, the LLC, is it most advantageous for what your business has?
Yeah. And working with a professional like yourself who has contacts with tax professionals that specialize in these areas and look at these specific things. And it's specific to each state. I know in where I grew up in Minnesota, in the farm country in southern Minnesota, the flat plains, great farmland in southern Minnesota and Iowa, the best in the country, they say, but great topsoil for corn and soybeans. But I'll tell you what, it's really, really important to understand how it works, because it's a whole different ballgame when you're talking about land and you're talking about equipment and you're talking about harvest. It really, really, timing is such a big part of it, and getting the right help because in Minnesota, where we were at, the state taxes were worse than the federal for the most part. I mean, state taxes here are, you have to have somebody that knows what they're doing in this state specifically that works with farmers. I mean, that's just how it is, right? Yeah. And it's the same with Kansas, right?
And we do have clients in multiple states. So, you know, having somebody that's knowledgeable about what your state tax laws are and state specific tax credits and some of those things are really important.
Yeah.
The other thing I would say is so important to not overlook would be the succession planning and estate planning portion of all businesses. Family farms obviously are something that we talk about a lot and hear about a lot when we think about succession planning. Mm-hmm. But I think I've shared this before. When we lost Brad's dad here a few years ago, the plan the entire time, he had Alzheimer's. And so the plan was when he passed, his brother would assume ownership of their oil well operation. There was life insurance. There was a buy-sell agreement in place. So Jay's family would get the life insurance. Jeff's family would, he would continue with the business. unexpectedly, Jeff passed before Jay. So when Jay passed from Alzheimer's, now there is no brother owner left to run the business. That meant we had a bunch of kids, although we're not kids, their kids, so to speak, that really didn't have a solid knowledge base or training or a plan in place to go operate that business. So looking at when the business, when the farm, when the ranch gets passed down to the next generation, do we have things in place so that it doesn't skip a beat, or are there things that could possibly derail that? We need to have a solid plan in place for that.
Yeah. Succession planning is huge. I mean, you can't say enough about it. And obviously enhanced planning or estate planning, it's all part of it. And I think the key is open communication, right? Communicate with all family members and have a financial professional who can really coordinate it for you, who's going to work alongside a really good estate planning attorney and get all parties that are key involved and come up with a plan, right, for succession. Who's taking over the business? Who's taking over the family farm? Who gets what when the patriarch passes, right?
It's such a hard thing to talk about. This goes back to you saying that, you know, the older generations do not like to talk about this.
Right.
Nobody really does. Nobody wants to talk about what's going to happen when we're gone. But the older generations, I think, are even more private about financial matters.
Yes.
But the worst thing that we can do is not communicate, one, what we want to have happen, and two, why we made the decisions that we made. Those farms that probably had one child, you know, that stayed behind or has an interest in staying behind and running it. If we have multiple kids and one child that's going to stay behind and run it, the challenge for the current owners, mom and dad, are we want to be fair to all kids, right? We want to leave something behind to all of our kids. But divvying up the family farm or land or having to sell off pieces of that to go make things right for the kids that didn't stay, that is extremely difficult.
It is.
To survive.
Yep.
That the farm is probably not going to remain viable if we're selling off pieces to go financially make things equal between the kids that left and the kid that stayed. And a little pre-planning, a little conversation about, you know, I don't think any of the kids would want to lose the ground, the family farm. We don't want to lose that. We want to keep that for generations to come. It's for the people that didn't stay. It's probably as emotional for the ones that stayed. It's nobody wants to see that divvied up. That's where things like life insurance or, you know, just a little pre-planning can go a long way into taking care of that feeling of I've got to make things fair, but I also don't want to lose the family business in the process.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot to look at, a lot to talk about. So you need to be proactive, communicate, plan, right?
And I think get some foundational items in place. A will, a trust, power of attorney documents, that's really the foundation of a plan for small business owners. Accounts like our 401k accounts, our life insurance policies, our bank accounts, we can have named beneficiaries, but crops on hand, equipment, land, a revocable living trust can help avoid probate. It maintains privacy. It ensures the assets stay, but they have to be properly titled and put into that trust, which is a mistake that we see made far too often, in that people take the right first step and they create the trust, but then we don't get the trust funded with the land, the equipment, et cetera. It's never moved into them. So something as simple as a trust. Another foundational item would be like a financial power of attorney or medical power of attorney. Yeah. If you are temporarily unable to make decisions, you need somebody that can come in and pay bills and write checks and sign contracts and do the things that you're unable to do so that the business continues to move forward. you don't want to have to go to court and fight for the ability to do that. That's where things are going to be totally taken off track and get derailed.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really important. Well, this has been a great discussion. Is there anything else you want to add before we go?
I think the key is just proactive planning, right? Yep. Waiting until the last minute, or worse, not ever doing it, it's too late. So if you're a small business owner, if you're a farmer, if you're a rancher, take the time to look at the foundational items that are going to set you up for the most success, that are going to provide the most tax advantage strategies, that are going to ensure a smooth succession plan. All of these things work together to serve the biggest need, which is we're very emotionally invested in these businesses that we've built, whether it's a 5-generation farm or a brand new business that we just went out and we created from scratch. That's our blood, sweat, and tears that we've put into that. And we don't want to see something that was totally avoidable if we knew or we had some guidance on what to plan for, take that away. So work with somebody who understands the strategies, work with somebody who understands your industry, and get some of that guidance to ensure you've got that long-term financial security and stability.
Yeah. Well put. So important. Get it done. Get a plan in place. Communicate. And the way to do that is to work with someone like yourself, Jamie, a trusted financial professional. So how can our listeners out there get a hold of you to set up that no charge, no obligation consultation?
Sure. Well, you can always call the office. As a reminder, the comprehensive planning that we do includes the tax team that we work with and our team of attorneys. So we try to hit all aspects of the plan where you're not just getting the investment and the retirement planning advice, but you're also working with somebody who understands the tax planning piece of it extremely well. And then the legal side is ensuring that whatever decisions we make, now that's bulletproof. Whatever you want to have happen is going to happen. And so working with a financial advisor that's not just focused on, well, here are the investments that I recommend, but what are we trying to accomplish in a bigger sense? So the tax team, the financial planning team, the legal team, that's crucial. So you can always call our office and just set up an initial consultation and tell us which of those areas feels like the priority. And that number is 620-377-6456. You can also go to our website, which is just ironhorsefinancialservices.com. And you can message us there or request an appointment by messaging us on any of the social media that we're on too, whatever's easiest.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Big thanks to Jamie Malm, our expert, for all the expert insight. That was great. And that does it for today's episode of Fly on the Wall Finance, Jamie.
Thanks, Tony. We'll see you guys next time.
All right. And hey, by the way, don't forget to subscribe to this show and share this episode with your fellow business owners. So
absolutely. Thanks. And rating. We love ratings and reviews.
Yeah, we really appreciate an honest 5-star rating.
An honest 5-star rating. Exactly. Thanks, Tony.
Yep.
That wraps up another episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast. Join us next time as we continue the conversations and bringing you behind the scenes in the world of finance. And don't forget to stay connected with us on your favorite social media platforms and subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next time.
All matters discussed during this show are for informational purposes only. Opinions expressed are solely those of Iron Horse Financial Services and staff. All topics covered are believed to be from reliable sources. However, Iron Horse Financial Services makes no representations as to its accuracy or completeness. This commercial shall in no way be construed as a solicitation to sell securities or advisory services to residents of any other state other than Kansas or otherwise permitted. Topics should be discussed with your financial advisor prior to implementation. Advisory services offered through Iron Horse Financial Services, a registered investment advisor in the state of Kansas. Insurance products and services are offered through Iron Horse Retirement, an affiliated company. Iron Horse Financial Services and Iron Horse Retirement are not affiliated with or endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency.